Father in heaven, I pray that as we take opportunity now to look into the book of 2 Samuel and particularly chapter 16, I ask, Father, that you'd bless us with an understanding of the heart of David as he is before you. And I pray, Father, that we might examine our own hearts in the light of Scripture. And as a result, Father, I pray that our relationship with you might be solidified. Hear us, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're looking at 2 Samuel chapter 16, beginning with verse 5. And as I get into this text this morning, I want to reflect a little bit on my time at our family camp in New York at White Lake. I used the following example at that family camp, and when I used this example, I drew a diagram on the board, a graph on the board to portray it. I've used this same example here. I don't remember exactly when it was, but perhaps some of you will remember it. We suppose too high a degree of sanctification for ourselves. Suppose now that you are but 0.01% sanctified. That is, that you have growth in Christ from 0 to 0.01%. Yet you have joy in Christ. You delight in Him. Suppose now that 100 times the joy or 100 times the sanctification were obtained by you. That would only be 1%. Suppose 1,000 times the degree of sanctification you now have were attained by you. Suppose 1,000 times the joy you now experience in Christ were attained by you. That would be but 10%. You see, we wrongly suppose we are 99.9% sanctified. We have almost reached the limit. And so, when we depart from a worship service and we examine our experience in that worship service, we may say, is that all there is? The problem is that we have had a mere taste, like the sample of ice cream at Baskin-Robbins. The taste at Baskin-Robbins is meant to get us to buy more. The taste of the Lord is meant to cause us to seek Him more, to delight in Him further. The diagram and the illustration which I have just given was attacked by certain pastors at our encampment. I found this very interesting. And upon reflection, I see that we do hold too high a view of ourselves. We identify ourselves in Scripture with Abraham, with Moses, with Joseph, with David, and with Paul. We identify with the great heroes of the faith, the biggies. As a matter of fact, we are less like Moses and probably more like the rebellious people of Israel. We are less like Joseph and probably more like Joseph's brothers who sold him into slavery. We are less like Paul and probably more like the Galatians to whom Paul wrote a profound letter. And perhaps this morning we are more like the man Shimei than we are like the man David. Because we give excuses for ourselves, while David in our text assumes responsibility for what he has done. Witness David's heart as he leaves Jerusalem in the wake of the outcome of his sin. 2 Samuel chapter 16, beginning with verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out from there a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came. David was leaving Jerusalem, and the reason he was leaving Jerusalem is because his son Absalom had spirited the kingdom away from David, and he was now ruler in Israel. And David, in shame, was departing from Jerusalem. David had sinned. If we go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verses 7 and following, we find these words. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, And it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if that had not been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he shall lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did this secretly, but I will do this thing before Israel and under the sun. This was the prophecy given to David by the prophet Nathan. And now it was coming to pass. Absalom, his own son, David's own son, had risen up against David and taken over the kingdom. And now David, shamefaced, was going out of Jerusalem. And this man, Shimei, a man from the household of Saul. There was not good blood between the house of David and the house of Saul. David had overthrown King Saul. And now this man from the house of Saul was coming out, and he cursed David continually. Verse 6 says, and he threw stones at David, and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. They were going along a hillside. They had just come from the Mount of Olives. And they were walking along the hillside opposite Jerusalem. And this man coming out of the little city of Baharim near Jerusalem was throwing stones at David and cursing him. Verse 7 says, and thus Shimei said when he cursed, get out! Get out, you man of bloodshed, you worthless fellow! The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have sinned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. Hear this man throwing stones at David, and throwing dust at David, and cursing David, and telling him, get out, you man of bloodshed, you worthless fellow. The Lord has brought upon you all of the bloodshed that you have brought upon the house of Saul. What a scene this was, as the company of David trudges out of Jerusalem, and this man is cursing and throwing stones and dust at David. Verse 9, then Abishai the son of Zeruiah said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head. Abishai the son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, was a mighty man. He was a general of the army. He was one of those fellows upon whom David trusted and implicitly entrusted his life because he was a mighty man. And Abishai says to David, that dirty dog, that dead dog, why should he be cursing you? Let me go over. I'll just cut off his head. David, however, restrains Abishai. Verse 10 in our text says, but the king said, what have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? If he curses, and if the Lord told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so? David seems to be opening the door for the fact that God himself had sent Shimei to curse David. David seems to be saying, I am worthy of this cursing which Shimei is bringing against me. I am the guilty one, not Shimei. Shimei is cursing at the hands of God and laying these curses on me at the behest of the Almighty. I am the guilty one. This is confirmed for us in verse 11. Then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son who came out from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him. David was severely persecuted, but he did not strike back. He seemed to realize that he deserved it all. Not only did David deserve the curses of Shimei and the punishment of being banished from the city of God, David seems to realize that he deserves the full curse and wrath of God and being banished from the city of God forever. David realizes this, and he realizes that it is only by the grace of Almighty God that he has standing before God at all. When we return to chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, after Nathan upbraids the king, David confesses his sin. In 2 Samuel 12:13, it says, "Then David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die.'" That was the pronouncement. And David is grateful to God that the death sentence has been commuted. What was the penalty for murder in the nation of Israel? What was the penalty for adultery? None other than being stoned to death. Everyone knew this. This was the law of God. And there is only one who could commute that sentence, the Almighty. And at the mouth of the prophet Nathan, that is exactly what took place when David confessed his sin. David knew that he was worthy of death. And yet he experienced the mercy of God. And so in 2 Samuel 16, as David and this company depart from Jerusalem under the cursings and under the pelting of the stones from Shimei, David says, "Behold, my son who came out from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord has told him, 'Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day.'" David casts himself afresh on the mercy of God. We too, friends, are worthy of death. We too are worthy of the curse of God and being separated from his mercy, love, and grace forever in the pits of hell itself. We too must cast ourselves upon the mercy of God, as did David. Why is this the case? This is the case because Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross took the curse. He became a curse for us. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Christ took the curse because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He took upon himself on Calvary's cross all of the wrath of God due to people like us for their sins. And when we trust in Jesus Christ, we too, like David, receive mercy from Almighty God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here is David then. David humbling himself under the mighty hand of God. And David's thoughts and actions, it seems to me, are an excellent example of sober self-reflection. The kind of sober self-reflection that the Apostle Paul exhorts in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 3. Turn with me there, if you would, to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Our tendency, friends, is to think too highly of ourselves. Listen again to this text. "For through the grace given to me,
I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. That little word ought means we have a debt. We are debtors to God. We owe it to God not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think before Him. We have a particular station before God. God is the Almighty. You see, low self-esteem is not the problem. High self-esteem seems to be the problem. Most of you in this auditorium, I think, know of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now am found. Hallelujah! Amazing grace. But you know, there are many who desire to change the words of that song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They don't want to call themselves wretches. They change that word wretch. The original meaning of that word means that we are low before God. We are sinners before God. But they don't want to change, or they don't want to sing that particular word. They want to change it. They change the word wretch to souls. At our camp, when I gave this example about sanctification and our growth in Christ, my objective was to show that we ought not to think so highly of ourselves. And one individual raised his hands and said, you know, what you're saying is that we're like worms before God. Now, that can't be. But that's exactly the case. God is high and exalted, dear friends. He is the epitome of perfection. He is high and lifted up. And we are creatures bound in sin. And the difference between us, the distance between us and God is infinite. And if any of us trust in Jesus Christ and are born again, we are not lifted immediately into that infinite glory of God. There is an infinite amount of growth that must take place within us. We are but babes in Christ. This is the point. While I was preparing for this message, I went through several prayers of John Calvin in his commentary on Daniel. Listen to one of these prayers. Grant, Almighty God, since during our pilgrimage in this world, we have daily need of the teaching and government of Thy Spirit, that with true modesty we may depend on Thy word and secret inspiration, and not take ourselves too seriously. Grant also that we may be conscious of our ignorance, blindness, and stupidity, and always flee to Thee, and never permit ourselves to be drawn aside in any way by the cunning of Satan and of the ungodly. May we remain so fixed in Thy truth as never to turn aside from it, whilst Thou dost direct us through the whole course of our vocation, and then may we arrive at the heavenly glory which has been obtained for us through the blood of Thine only begotten Son. Amen. John Calvin was a brilliant man. He studied the Scriptures diligently, and he prays on one hand that he may be conscious of his own ignorance, blindness, and stupidity in order that he might learn from God and one day come to the glorious shores of heaven. This is what Paul means by having sound judgment. Again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. This means that you are and I am to have a proper understanding of ourselves. You're to have a proper understanding of yourself before God, and I am to have a proper understanding of myself. before God. We are to have sound judgment. We are to be in our right minds before God. And the interesting thing here is that faith is affixed to this. Again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. In order to have a proper perspective on ourselves, we must have faith. And this involves at least two things. It involves the fact that we understand who Jesus Christ actually is. We must understand the truth of God as it is given to us in the Bible. We must see Jesus Christ for who He is. He is the object of our faith. And on the other hand, we must be possessed of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to embrace Jesus Christ as He is portrayed in the Scriptures. This faith, therefore, is a gift. And this is what Paul is saying in Romans 12:3, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You don't conjure up this faith yourself. This is not a faith that comes from deep within you and embraces the Son of God. This is something that comes as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit deep within you. Then you embrace Jesus Christ. And you understand your station before God. You understand the fact that you need to cry out to God for mercy. I remember a fellow in a committee meeting who continually justified himself. And those who of you who know me know that there are times when I'll just say it the way it is. And I finally said to this young man who was having problems in his pastorate, I said to him, look, Roy, the individual who keeps justifying himself before others and before God is doomed. Hell's jaws are open, awaiting to consume those who continually justify themselves. We are reminded of the parable of the Pharisee and that publican, that sinner. The Pharisee stood up and said, I thank you, God, I'm not like others. Because I tithe all the time, I do everything that's properly. And this poor other man did not dare to lift up his eyes to heaven, but cried out to God, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. This is where David was. He didn't think too highly of himself. David knew that he deserved not only the stones and the curses of Shimei, but he deserved God's curse and he deserved hell. As I have reflected on this concept, I have come to the conclusion that my own sanctification is at a very low level. And I am not at the level of 1/100 of 1%, but I am more at the level of 1/10,000 of 1% sanctification. This past week, Irma and I twice went to Lyons for lunch at the Pizza Hut. And we sat together in the same booth on two consecutive days. And as we talked, I looked across the table at her and I said, on two consecutive days, my own estimation as to my own sanctification is diminishing moment by moment. And this was David. David cast himself on the mercy of God. And he knew it was only by the grace of God that he had life and breath. Such sober reflection leads us to reliance upon God rather than reliance upon ourselves. Such sober self-reflection leads us to a reliance upon God concerning salvation. If any of us has a place in heaven, it is not due to what we have done, but it is due to the grace of God through Jesus Christ. If any of us experiences any growth in Christ, it is due to the grace of God operative within us and our eyes being open to the commandments of God in Scripture and the strength of God being imparted to us that we might be obedient to those commands. If we experience any daily care or sustenance, if we have the ability to work or to play or to earn a fair wage or to cook a meal, it is by the grace of God. In our family life, it is by the grace of God operative that we are able to raise our family, teach our children, give them guidance. In our finances, it is by the grace of God that we are able to work and receive that paycheck and have a roof over our heads and clothing on our backs and transportation in which to ride and food on our tables. It is by the grace of God. We are like Shimei when we take to ourselves that which ought to be gloried in for the sake of Jesus Christ. We are like Shimei when we blame others rather than ourselves. And we are like David when we recognize our emptiness. Ask yourself this question then, dear friends. It's the title of the sermon this morning. Am I more like King David or the man Shimei? And then cast yourselves, dear friends, upon the mercy of our glorious God, and by grace, I say to you, walk from this place in new strength and in new life. God grant it. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking that we be granted grace. I'm asking that we be like King David and not think too highly of ourselves. But rather, Almighty God, I pray that we would cast ourselves upon your mercy. And if it be for salvation, grant it now. If it be for growth in grace, grant it now. If it be to find the fulfillment of daily care and sustenance for help in our family or finances, grant it now. And grant, O God, that we might understand our place before you. In Jesus' name, amen.